I literally just fell on the floor of the kitchen and I said, Lord, I don't think I can do this. And I said, you know what? I need help. I need to know that I'm not the only one.
Employed full-time and raising two girls, Sarenae felt overwhelmed.
I truly think that God uses focus on the family and the guests to bring hope, especially to young moms, working moms, or even a stay-at-home moms.
I'm Jim Daly. Working together, we can encourage more moms like Sarenae and help them grow in their relationship with the Lord, especially during this pandemic. When you support Focus on the Family, you're strengthening marriages, equipping parents, and sharing God's good news with those who need it most. Please donate today, and when you do, your gift will be doubled. Visit FocusOnTheFamily.com/strengthenfamilies to learn more, or call 800 the letter A and the word family.
And I remember sitting down with him and just kind of saying, so I guess I can't come back to the house. You guys don't, you know, I guess you're just done in essence. And he just put his hand on my shoulder and just said, Carrie, it's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going.
That's Carrie Trent Stageberg, and she's our guest today on Focus on the Family, along with her dad, Dr. John Trent. And we welcome you to this episode. I'm John Fuller, your host is Focus President Jim Daly, and today we're going to talk about the importance of living and giving a blessing to your children, your grandchildren, and others in your sphere of influence.
John, the impact of growing up in fragile families, let me call them that, sometimes fatherless homes, it's really taken a toll on the culture over these past several decades.
Yeah, you can see it.
I meet many people who have not experienced a blessing from their mom or their dad. And because of it, they don't know how to bless their own children.
Yeah.
Even this morning with reading the prep and reading the book, I was up early about 6 a.m. with Troy. And I said, Troy, do you remember that time I took him hiking and camping? I said, and I did a blessing over you. I want to make sure he caught it. And he said, oh, yeah, Dad, I remember it. I thought for sure he would have forgotten it because he was probably 8 years old. Mm. Now he's 17, but it meant something to him. And it is so important to instill and then reinforce with our children the messages of love, acceptance, and value, and identity in Christ, especially for those of us who are trying to raise our kids in a Christian context. And today we have two wonderful guests who are going to talk about how to give that blessing to your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dr. John Trent is very well known. He's been here a number of times. He's a speaker and best-selling author and is the president and founder of StrongFamilies.com. And his daughter, Carrie Trent Stageberg, also works as a writer and speaker, and she works with him at StrongFamilies.com. And together, they have a newly revised and expanded version of the classic book, which has sold more than a million copies, The Blessing, Giving the Gift of Unconditional Love and Acceptance. And of course, we have that online. Just check the episode notes for the details.
John and Carrie, welcome back to Focus.
Hey, thanks. Thank you. Great to be with you.
You know, I'm looking at the cover of the book, The Blessing, and of course, it's John Trent, Gary Smalley, and now Carrie, you're on there too. Talk for a moment, if you would, about your relationship with Gary Smalley, because you two, you both had such a wonderful impact. And, you know, I'm sure, like me, you miss him.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's been almost 3 years since we had Gary go home to be with the Lord, and we still get to talk to Norma. We still get to hug and hang out, you know, with Greg, his son.
Yeah, Greg's here, and we love that.
Yeah, and but that was such an amazing time. I mean, when Gary and I first started, I mean, picture it's like two otters getting to work together.
A little bit of chaos.
Best friends, yeah. And thank the Lord we had a guy named Downtown Terry Brown, you know, and Terry ran everything, he and Norma. So Gary and I would show up at conferences late, usually, and just...
Not much has changed.
No, not much has changed, you know. But it was really just an absolutely unbelievable time, including getting to write books like this, you know.
Yeah. That, and the blessing, like John said, I mean, over a million sold. Yeah. You had a way, both of you, of really connecting with the audience.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody, I'd be working on a book if I was at a seminar and he was speaking, you know, and so I'd be back there. I couldn't stay in the same room where Gary was speaking because even though I'd heard the stories a million times, it would just hook you, you know? So I had to literally go out of the sound of his voice to be able to get anything
he
done.
He was a great storyteller. Yeah. I mean, that was really his thing. Yeah. Okay, let's get into it. What are some of the key components to a blessing? You've outlined them in this great book. So what are they?
Yeah, well, and that hasn't changed. I mean, one of the things with Kerry coming on board with his book is it's not that the core message has changed, you know? And you're right, there's five things when you really think about the blessing and what in the world is it, you know? Well, every time a parent gave a blessing, when Jesus took those kids and put them in his arms and blessed them, every time a blessing was given, it did, for example, things like this. You attached high value to somebody. Are you guys familiar with attachment theory today?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, you talk about right now, there's been over 125 studies on how crucial attachment is. Well, the blessing is the Bible's really guide to how do you get connected with people. And you sit there and you start off and say, well, boy, I want to attach high value. I want to look at them in a way that they have a special future. That's the next one, you know, that I see something in your life, Kerry, that you might not see right now. You know, if they're a junior high kid and the whole world is wrong, or they're just in a tough situation, but we get the chance to attach high value to help them say, man, you've got a special future. You know, I can see it. I asked God to really help with that with you. And then genuine commitment is the third thing that we looked at in that book, where you don't just talk about it, but you hang in there. I remember my mom, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And I thank God for my mom who gave me the blessing, even though, you know, I could talk my twin brother into doing things, but then he got really smart and quit doing it. You know?
Right. Not only that, but she's a single parent mom.
Single parent mom.
Your dad was out of the scene.
And I remember, you know, one time it's like 2 a.m. and the cops bring me home. And now back then they'd bring you home. Okay. Now today they just
take
you
to juvie.
Yeah. But so, and then they wake up my mom and she's a rheumatoid arthritic and she comes down the hall 2 a.m, limps down the hall. And the cops yelling at us and, you know, we ought to take them in and all that stuff. And I remember Jeff and I going in and sitting at the table. So I go to my mom. I go, well, Mom, I guess this means you don't love us anymore. And I'm telling you, her head snapped up. She had these beautiful blue, kind of gunmetal blue eyes. And she goes, this has nothing to do with love. I will always love you, but I am tremendously disappointed in you. And so I knew right then, okay, number one, I'm grounded again. Okay, you know.
Right.
But I also knew I can get brought home at 2 a.m, and at least I got one person that's crazy about me. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, you're not going to lose that. Unconditional.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Unconditional.
But there are consequences to your actions.
Yeah, exactly.
And in fact, we're going to talk about that. And it's interesting, Kerry, the audience may not have caught this yet, but you are John's daughter.
Yes, yes.
So we've got the proof in the pudding here. I mean, hearing your dad when he was a younger fellow and hearing him go through all those kind of crazy things. You saw your mom and dad, before we get to that part of the story, though, your story.
Yeah.
You saw your mom and dad modeling this, giving you a blessing.
Absolutely.
I mean, it sounded like almost every day somehow they blessed you.
They did. You know, I mean, they would start us off in the morning with a song that they created. It didn't really rhyme, but it,
I
you know,
so
was our blessing song.
That.
Yeah,
I do that,
you know,
too.
That's
so,
kind of that's kind of the new
the theme,
thing.
Yeah, exactly. More of a haiku, if you will. Yeah. But no, we started off the day with a blessing. I mean, there literally wasn't a day where I didn't hear that I was loved or valued, or that I had a God that was crazy about me too.
Yeah, that is so good. In fact, you related to a special plate that somebody had given you. Tell the story about the special plate.
Well, the special plate kind of came into play when both my sister and I were born. We have a great friend of our family, and instead of, you know, baby clothes or something for that, she gave my parents a special plate for each of us. And, you know, it's this cute red plate that just says, you are special today.
Made out of China.
So it's special. You know, it's very breakable compared to other things you used to let us eat off of for good reason. But, you know, we in our family, that kind of became a way of blessing each other. So whether it was our first day of school or we had had a bad day or we finally finished that term paper, we got the special plate. And whoever had the special plate, everyone had to go around the table and give that person a blessing.
Oh, wow.
And say one reason why they loved and appreciated them. So it kind of just became a way to not only celebrate victories, but encourage us when we were really struggling as well.
Yeah. That's really a great idea. I had never thought of that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can find them on Amazon. They're like $15. So
there's the pitch.
Yeah.
Hey, John, another way that you practice blessing Carrie and your other daughter was through storytelling.
Yeah.
You're talking about that. You're alluding to it. Can we get an example of it?
Well, I'm going to go back to Carrie because I do think there's a sense in which kids really need to know, you know, with our touch, with our words. Those are two other things that are part of, you know, the blessing.
Right.
Is that appropriate touch? People are so freaked out today about touch, and
yeah,
rightly so in a lot of ways. But man, you know, that hand on their shoulder or that appropriate touch, and then saying words. You know, it's interesting, but do you know how flowers bend toward the light?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Well, let me tell you, when you tell a kid mm-hmm. or a spouse, you know, how valuable they are, it is amazing how even today, you know, so many kids are so lonely. This is one of the most unparented generations because you just hand them an iPad and hope for the best, you know.
Right. They're entertainment parented.
Yes.
If I could say it that way.
Yeah. And man, just to get them to put down the iPad for a second and say, hey, look at me. My mom was so great at that. You know, she would always make me, you know, look at me. And this day and age, you know, Gen Z, the whole younger millennials, they're multitaskers. So they're talking to you while they're doing their homework, while they're watching something. They've got a conversation going on with friends. And so sometimes just slowing things down.
Yeah.
But Carrie, we used to tell them about Bungee Bear.
Yeah, that, Bungee Bear
storytelling.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
So this all really started in the backyard. And to preface this, do not do this at home without padding and helmets and supervision.
Okay, this is going
somewhere. But yeah, so what he did was, and mom was there too,
which
is why we needed padding. But, you know, we took one of our favorite bears and he attached a bungee cord to it. And then he had my sister and I walk as far away as we possibly could. So, you know, the bungee cord's really tight, and then let go of the bear. And I mean, the velocity on that thing was just, I mean, you could
knock someone out,
you know.
Yeah.
So, yes, do it with safety. But really what the heart of that was is he was sat us down afterwards and just said, you know, I want you to know that no matter how far you go, you know, whether it's from us or from the Lord, you're always attached to us and we're not going anywhere. And then it kind of morphed into something that I love, which was every morning from kindergarten through junior high, my dad would drive my best friend Bryn and I to school in the mornings when you were in town.
Yeah.
And he would always tell us a bungee bear story. And for whatever reason, Bungee Bear was always experiencing something that we were, you know, whether it was we were having a hard time with friends or, you know, we were afraid of something or school was really challenging. And really, again, it was just that picture, you know, before we get out of the car, he would just remind us, hey, you've got parents that are crazy about you and a God that's crazy about you, and we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, that is so good. And so many young people need to know that, right?
Yeah. And it requires a lot of intentionality. That's why we're doing this program.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to encourage parents. You can do this. You've got to step up and provide that child with the affirmation, the blessing that you're talking about. To our listeners, let me just say, we have a real quick summary of the blessing. We've got the book by our guests, and we also have a free parenting assessment you can take to kind of gauge where you're at in the relationship with your child. All of that in the episode notes.
Carrie, you gave an example of what your dad was doing when you were elementary school and junior high. Did it change a little in high school? I mean, you're a little more sophisticated in high school. You're beginning to become more independent.
Yeah.
How did your dad try to continue?
Yeah. You know, and this one, it always makes me cry, but and he still does this. But, you know, it did really start in high school because, you know, your schedule changes, you start driving, you're not home as much, all of those things kind of morph. And so what he would do is, no matter what was going on, whether I was a cheerleader, so whether it was a late Friday night football game or out with friends, whatever it was, he'd be waiting up for me when I got home. And he'd always have my favorite snack, apples and peanut butter. And we'd sit at the table and he'd just ask me questions about my night.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I'd go into it and I would almost kind of dread it because you're going, I don't want to talk about what happened tonight. Mm-hmm. Like the time I didn't get asked to prom. But every single time I went to bed knowing, wow, like that was so incredibly helpful, not only to process it, but to know that, you know, my dad loved me enough to wait up to have apples and peanut butter with me.
What I want to dig into now, though, is a little bit more of your story, Carrie, because people are hearing this. Some parents are going, isn't that nice that John Trent and his daughter had such a wonderful relationship? And he blessed her every day and stayed up late at night.
Yeah.
Right. And it is good. I'm not trying to signal any kind of, negativity in that way. But you struggled when you went to college and you had some valleys, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the reason I want to go here is because there's so many listening parents of prodigals that they did all the things, maybe different things that your mom and dad did.
Yeah.
And their kids aren't there with the Lord, and they're in their 20s, and they're frantic. The parents are going, what do we do? We thought we did everything right according to the formula of how to raise children. Speak to that dark challenge in your life and what happened.
Well, and I think, the blessing isn't a formula, and there just isn't a formula, whether it's faith, relationships, there's no formula. And while I did hear every day that I had value in a God that was crazy about me, the Lord felt really abstract. I was watching other people interact with him and I just couldn't figure out, well, how does that even apply to me? And I, as you can tell from the practicals, I'm a very practical person and I wanted to see it and I just couldn't. And so that led me on a journey of trying to find value outside of the Lord and my family, which really led, it was probably almost 15 years of just, I don't know about this thing. And it wasn't that I ever didn't believe that God was real. I just didn't think it applied. And so, long story short, I ended up eloping, shocking my whole family, not the best thing to do when you have a dad in marriage and family ministry. And I ended up in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And it was really through that I realized that God was real and he rescued me out in an incredibly miraculous way of literally showing up when I called out for him. And real, not to stay too long on that, and it's in the book and you can read more about it, but one night he got really violent and he left. And normally, he'd go in the other room and play video games and it was kind of like nothing ever happened. But that particular evening he left and I just remember crying out and saying, God, if you're real, just get me out. And without exaggeration, 10 minutes later, there was a knock on the door and someone had a safe place for me to go stay.
Wow.
And, that wasn't the end. There was still a process of having to go through that. But that was the moment where I realized maybe God is listening. Maybe he does care about me personally. But, in terms of kids that have walked away, I mean, you and mom went through a lot. I put you through a lot. And then even when I got out, I'll never forget, you found out, not through me, but through somebody else, a whole slew of things that I had just done that were incredibly heartbreaking. And I remember sitting down with him and just kind of saying, I can't come back to the house. You guys don't, I guess you're just done in essence. And he just put his hand on my shoulder and just said, Carrie, it's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. Mm-hmm. And you gave me your blessing and told me that God wasn't done with me, that you and mom weren't done. And that doesn't mean that they didn't have boundaries. That didn't mean that it didn't take time to restore that trust and that relationship, because it did. But that really unleashed me to be able to say, you know what, maybe there is hope for me here, especially in that broken place coming out of abuse.
And it's so beautiful. I appreciate you sharing the pain in your life. But, what it brings me to tears thinking about it is how we try to hide that. And it's exactly what the Lord wants to lift up, because that's where he shines.
Yep.
Right. It's not when we're doing so well and we're projecting something perfect. It's when we're broken.
Yeah.
And I love that scripture. And people hear me say it a lot. He's close to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. And let's run to it then, right? And that was your crushing of spirit moment.
Mm. Yeah.
But John, let me turn to you, because a mom and dad listening right now, maybe their daughter or their son is still in the valley.
Yeah.
And they did all these things. They listened to Focus on the Family. They heard Dr. Dobson say, Dare to Discipline. They heard you and Gary talking about great parenting approaches, biblical parenting approach. They applied it.
Yeah.
But my 26-year-old is not with the Lord now, and we don't have a great relationship. And I can't even imagine picking up the phone and saying, can I say a blessing over you now?
Yeah.
It won't work. There's too much pain.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, number one is, I am so grateful that I did have a model of a mom that, whether you're picked up by the police or you're just doing other things that are just way out there, man, she never gave up on me. And then I also really believe, and I think this is huge, is how in Hebrews you know, for he himself who said, Hebrews 13:5, I will, you know, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I think, you know, that's exactly, even when Carrie was at the, you know, because we lost her. I can't even explain to you how tough that is. I mean, parents know that are in that situation, but, you know, she'd move around. They would, you know, you'd try to call. You were always doing stuff on the phone. She wouldn't even do, you know, the FaceTime stuff because then you might see something and you just knew they were hurting. And of course,
I couldn't even look you in the eye. I mean, I'll never forget that moment where after I'd started healing, where he just said, this is the first time you've looked me in the eye in 3 years.
That's how deep it was.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Yeah. So I think, you know, man, once you get Jesus's love in your life, and it's so hard to do, but man, he would look at a Levi and see Matthew. You know, he'd look at a Saul and see Paul. And so the thing that I kept feeling with Carrie and praying about was, okay, Carrie has a special future, you know. So I never gave up on her, and neither did Cindy, you know.
So you remained hopeful.
Yes, but that doesn't mean then that we didn't subsidize the behavior. We didn't do all that. But man, I'm telling you, it was just really tough. Yeah. And you had to line up almost every day like that little widow woman and go, okay, I'm going to just keep praying and someday she's going to change. And God, you know, miraculously in our case, but you don't give up. You say, Lord, I'm going to still trust you.
Carrie, let me ask you in, you know, the final couple of minutes here, could you speak to parents?
Yeah.
I mean, you went through that. And just speak directly to those parents who are struggling.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
You know, I think there's really two things. I mean, the first is that you have to have grace for yourself and realize that this is, you know, I think for me especially, I didn't realize until after how much I had hurt people. It wasn't about them and I wasn't doing it to hurt them. I was caught up in my own hurt. And I think sometimes when someone is so broken, they don't realize that impact. So I think have grace for yourself. Know that it's not your fault and that your kid is what they're doing that's hurtful. It may not be intentional. Yeah. And I think the second part of that really is just that God will never stop pursuing them. Yeah. And he never quit with me. He's not going to quit with your kid.
Let me ask you, too, about the guilt, because I think one of the things parents go through, it's this constant guilt that what did I do wrong? Where did I miss
what
it?
What else could I have done?
And they, you know, frankly, in the marriage, they might be pointing at each other, the parents. Can you speak to that, to the parent about, you know, your behavior was not your mom and dad's behavior.
Right.
And were you able to separate that?
Not until later. Yeah. You know, at the time, and again, especially I think too with abuse, it was such a unique situation where you, when you're in that, you really can only focus on that situation. You know, I mean, and you might even be able to talk a little bit more about what you and mom went through. Because even when I came back, they never rehashed that with me. We've had some conversations about it over the years, but
I think it was like probably a sigh. Whew, okay.
Yeah, but I know for you and mom, you really struggled, but you guys went to counseling and got help to really kind of realize this isn't, you are not responsible for the decisions of others. Yeah. Whether it's your kid or not, you are not responsible for their decisions. That is their choice, as hard as that is to accept.
Yeah, and just, you know, again, I pray right now for every parent that is feeling like they're in a bad dream. You know, and just it's really hard to believe someday we're ever going to walk out of this. And in some cases, kids don't come back. You know, we're so grateful. I mean, to have Carrie, and you had to rebuild your relationship with your sister, with your, you know,
everybody.
With mom, you know, I hope people don't hear this was like, well, there was no
magic moment,
no magic. Yeah. But I cannot even tell you how much this whole concept of the blessing helped, because have you guys seen the new Mr. Rogers movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Yeah. You got to go see it, you know, but, it's really the picture of a guy that's really broken with a dad that left. And then, he's an investigative reporter and he's going to show Mr. Rogers as, you know, as a fraud. And it changes his life, just the reality of love and acceptance. And there's an amazing study, this guy named Prophet, and he's does basically visual perception studies. So here's what he would do is he would take somebody and put them right next to, right at the base of a really high hill, Okay. And you've got, you're all hooked up and they're measuring everything. And now guess what they would do? okay, is they'd bring somebody over that you were closely connected with. So if it was a spouse, they'd hold your hand. If it was a kid, they'd have you put your hand on their shoulder, okay? And now they measured what was going on. And they're going to climb that hill with you, that really high hill. And it is unbelievable what happens. Now, you're still climbing a really high hill, but when you're doing it alone, it's like Mount Everest. But when you've got somebody with you, and that's what that's we're trying to say, is, man, you know what? Bless that kid. They may be facing this giant hill, but you're saying we're doing this with you. Hmm. And it's amazing how that can really impact the family.
And I will say this, too. I mean, you did. And I wasn't accepting any of what they were giving, but it mattered. And I'll never forget there was one time, one of the few times that we kind of were face-to-face during that season, and he wrote me a list of truths about myself that God said about him and that him and my mom believed, and him and my mom both signed it, and I still have it in my wallet.
Wow.
And you know, in that moment, you might not be ready to receive it, but those truths matter. So even if your kid's really struggling and if you're not communicating, write it down for yourself because maybe someday you can give that to them.
That's a great story.
And that was, you still spoke truth about what you saw.
Well, listen, we have got to wrap up, unfortunately, but let's go to the website. I want to talk a bit more about how you do the blessing. And so for the listeners, for those on YouTube, you can go to the website and we'll continue the conversation for a little bit more. But thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for this powerful instruction on how to provide a blessing to your child. And Carrie, thank you for being,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know, but for being the example of how it can work even with the valleys. Mm-hmm. You know, if it works to God's plan, there'll be joy and peace and hope in all of it. So thank you both for being with us.
Can I pray a quick blessing over her? Lord, I just do thank you for Carrie and her sister and her mom and the journey, and pray for each person that's maybe going through something similar. So thank you for having a special future for us. And Lord, for we just do attach great value on her and pray a blessing on her. Amen.
Amen. Well, our thanks to John and Carrie for joining us today for Focus on the Family. And I had mentioned some resources earlier, including their great book, The Blessing, Giving the Gift of Unconditional Love and Acceptance. You'll find that free parenting assessment I mentioned, and the extra conversation that we'll continue with here in a moment. Our contact info is 800-A-FAMILY. That's our phone number, 800, the letter A and the word family. And online, you can find these resources and make a donation if you can. All of that in the episode notes.
And John, let me say that when people make that donation, and we'll say thank you by sending a copy of The Blessing to them. Your gifts are so important to helping Focus continue this very important work of strengthening family relationships. We're hearing from moms and dads every day who tell us we're a lifeline or a lifesaver for their family. And that's very humbling. It's God that's doing the work, and He uses you to be part of it. Get in on the summer matching gift opportunity. Some generous friends of Focus are going to double your contribution when you call today. So $25 becomes $50 and so on. So please help us help others today. Let's do this together. And again, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of The Blessing.
You can do that online. Just check the episode notes for the details. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thank you for joining us today for Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.
With all that's happening in the world right now, you may be looking for ways to both entertain and encourage your family. We would like to help you do just that by giving you a 28-day free trial of the Adventures in Odyssey Club, where you can find our back catalog of Adventures in Odyssey programs. These exciting episodes are a great way to keep you and your family connected to truth as you continue to navigate through significant changes to your lives. So go to AIOclub.org and get started on your free 28 days of Adventures in Odyssey. That's AIOclub.org.